Talking about people, what do you say? Should it be the same people that searched for this scalable business model, who also scales the business? Do you see pros and cons there? What's your experience, your ideas around that?
I'm going to come down the side that scaling tends to be a game of experienced entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs. So, and I'll start talking about it from the, startup context from Silicon Valley and then go to the corporate context. So the dirty secret I feel like of entrepreneurship, it used to be that historically, like a VC who's doing a portfolio game will invest in a lot of startups, right? And they'll have these, very creative young founders coming out the gate trying to figure out and trying to get that product market fit. And then when the one or two that make it, they get that product market fit and they start scaling, the first thing the VC would do would be to replace that young, creative, entrepreneurial founder with a more seasoned business executive who could then go ahead and scale it. And I'll tell you, there's a bunch of disillusioned founders there who got taken out of their business just when it started to do well and didn't realize that that was the game that was being played. Now that's changing a lot in the last 10 years. We've gone, and there's a couple reasons why. Like we've gone from a scarcity of capital to scarcity of, or capital used to be the really scarce commodity, and now there's too much capital for startups. So startups are the balance of power is shifted to them, and the startup founders are getting a lot more sophisticated in how they negotiate their equity investments. And so now the founders have a lot more power. You see Travis at Uber or Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook have an enormous amount of power on their board. And also, the innovation cycle has been compressing. So it used to be if you got that one winning product, you put that senior executive on them that was used to running and managing large companies and building that infrastructure, and that's good for 10 years, right? Now that's only good for a year or two. So you need to keep around that creative early stage startup experience as well. And so some firms are evolving. So you see Mark Zuckerberg has Sheryl Sandberg with him because you kind of need those two going simultaneously. So if I look in the corporate world, there's the same struggle, I feel like. In pre-product market phase, you need that creative entrepreneurial maverick who's going to think big and really experiment and move. And one of the companies that I'm working with, this is a multi-billion dollar company, they have one of the person who's in charge of one of their early stage ventures is perfect for the rest of the corporate. Like he's very hierarchy oriented, structured, very much like by the books and everything is regimented. But now we're putting him in an environment where he needs to think creatively and move quickly. And that turned out to be a huge bottleneck for the company because he's just not that early stage entrepreneurial founder, right? But at the same point, you get to a tipping point where once you start to scale, you need different skills. Some people view it like scaling. It's like, oh, well, I'm going from little league to minor, to junior varsity to varsity to the minor leagues to the major leagues, and then I'm a unicorn, right? And it's kind of this process like that. But it's not like that. I would say the better analogy is you start off, as a major league baseball player, and then you have to be an Olympic diver, and then you have to be a, World Cup soccer player, or not that I'm in Europe, I should say World Cup football player, to, an NBA basketball star. Like it's very, very different skills that are needed. So once they start that scaling process, they need that skill of like building an organization, which tends to be an experience game. So, I saw an interview with Reed Hastings, the founder of Netflix. And he had actually done a company before Netflix in the early 90s, and he grew it up to 700 people. But the entire time he was doing that business, he was kind of like semi out of control, completely freaked out. He didn't know what he was doing. He thought he was doing a terrible job. Like he held on to things for too long. Like he was at 50 people and he was still coding, right? And he was a huge bottleneck. And then when he founded Netflix and it was 15 people, he's like, oh, I know what to do here. Like, I understand this game now. And it's much easier for him the second time around. Like, he understood how it worked. So that experience helps out a lot. And the experience is not just experience in scaling a company and running a large business. I think the experience also is kind of in the corporate realm. It's experience with the company. So I'll give you an example. There were two teams that I worked with once, and one team, the average tenure of the person at their company had been 10 years, right? And so when it came time to get their, you know, stakeholders for the group, the founder asked the CEO to be a stakeholder because they knew each other because they both grown up through the company together, right? And so all of a sudden when you're getting your biweekly stakeholder meetings and the CEO founder or the CEO of the company is coming to those stakeholder meetings, like every other stakeholder is there. Mm-hmm. And I compared to the other team, which is a junior team, and it took them, and they just didn't have the, you know, the ability to maneuver in the organization. They didn't have the relationships or the skill. And it took them about 2 months before they could get a quorum of their stakeholders to actually show up to a meeting. And so they lost out on all that great backing and all the great insight that the executives had. They never had it. They were in isolation. So it just really helps to have not only experience in knowing how to do, like run a larger organization or a growing organization, but also in the company itself. Like the company, the startup that I did that got bought by eBay or PayPal, it took about 4 or 5 years, but eBay, PayPal finally shut them down. And during that 4 or 5 years, the company was kind of a little bit strangled of resources at a time when our competitors were investing heavily. And the thing is that it was complete outsiders that were brought into the company, to eBay, and we didn't have the relationships to be able to maneuver. And so we kept getting our marketing budget cut and they're like, well, why aren't you scaling? And I'm like, well, we can't do customer acquisition with no budget, right? And so it's really important to have that experience with us. So,
but there's a handful of entrepreneurs who managed to make that transition, just like you were pointing out, Zuckerberg.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just feel that it's, of course, the skill sets required for searching and scaling are completely different. Mm-hmm. But still, if I just understand you right, we should at least give them the benefit of doubt that they are given the chance to make that transition rather than just automatically replacing the entrepreneur with a VP who's got, you know, all the lines.
Right.
And so on.
Right.
It's because it feels like the right thing to do at this moment. Now we're taking in the funding, now we're ready to scale, we have to change. Because that could also kill a company, right? Because maybe the team is still relatively small and is looking to this entrepreneurial founder as the natural leader. And when he's taken out, it can create a vacuum and it can become very complicated, actually.
And it's a
chemistry point of view.
Like, who's going to be an entrepreneur in your company if you know as soon as you get successful you're going to be taken out, right?
Yeah exactly. Worse if it's not told ahead of time that you do it.
So this is a super tricky issue because there's a lot of ramifications to this to think about how you do this. I think the ideal dream, I know someone who worked at a telephone in the telephone industry. Mm-hmm. And he was a senior manager who was super creative and could do that early stage entrepreneurial stuff. Mm-hmm. He saw this trend coming. He's like, oh my gosh, we totally need to get on this and launch a product here. So he started it as a side product while he was running his big, you know, important, mm-hmm. you know, product that was the main job. He did it for a year like that. And after a year, he gave up his main job and then just did the entrepreneurial small one. At which time all his colleagues said he was crazy. The common perception was, well, he's on his way out of the company. Like, what a stupid thing to do, to give up being a senior manager on a major product to go be this entrepreneurial thing. But he ended up growing it to 2,500 people, right? So, you know, the ideal situation is to have a senior manager who has that creative edge and is willing to go against all conventional wisdom and give up their senior position in order to take on a new entrepreneurial venture, right? That would be the dream. But like, reality is that does not exist too often.
No, sure.
You've got to think about how do you manage this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was talking with one person at Philips and she was an entrepreneur there. In her 20s and doing a project and it was going so well and it was starting to grow. And if you talk to her afterwards, she was like the entire time she was kind of, you know, it was exhilarating, but it was also scary. And she knew this was getting bigger than her skills to manage it, right? She knew that, but she didn't want to be replaced as that would be seen as a failure for her and she'd have to hand over her baby to someone else. Mm-hmm. And so I was asking her, I'm like, well, I was trying to figure out like, how could the company handle this? And one of the ideas I said like, oh, how about this? If you were given equity in the success of the company, maybe it's a revenue share or something like that, Like before I even finished a sentence, she would have been like, I would have gone out and found a senior manager who I knew who could grow this business and happily handed over the share to them because I was going to get more money if I brought in the heavy artillery to grow this. Right. Mm-hmm. And it would have been a win-win. And she would have been
And she could still play a central role in that company, but maybe in a different capacity. Mm-hmm. And also I think it's about not just them, but how do they surround themselves with great advisors that can help them through that transition?
Exactly. That's another solution. Like it doesn't have to, it doesn't have to be taking the person out. It's just, there has to be an acknowledgement that there are different skills required. It tends to require experience to scale things. Not always, right? There are the wunderkinds out there who can do it all. But statistically, it's like starting a company, doing that startup, lean startup part, is incredibly difficult, and yet that's the easy part of this process.
Exactly. Yeah. By the way, I was just thinking there's a great case study for this. I mean, about Apple, of course, when Steve Jobs was taken out by the board when he had hired the guy from PepsiCo to scale Apple, and then they turned on him, and then the rest.
But if you look at it also today, so Steve Jobs is definitely that creative, leader who can come up with new product ideas. And he was balanced with Tim Cook, who is a great executor, right? He's an operator.
That's towards the end. Yes, absolutely. But this was even before. That was long before when he was kicked out.
Years later. And now that Steve Jobs is no longer there at Apple, it's all Tim Cook. Mm. Some people are saying that they're losing that entrepreneurial edge, right? Yeah, are they still being created? The same thing happened at Microsoft when you had Bill Gates and taken over by Steve Ballmer, who was his number two and an operator. Something about that combination, having both those skill sets. If it can be one person, fantastic. Probability is it's two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. You need both a chief entrepreneurship officer and a chief executive officer balancing these two.
Yeah,
I think that's what Osterwalder is saying, at least.
He's advocating for that.
He might have a point.